Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And back after a finally completed round one in the NRL and joined by Boxhead. What's going on, buddy?
Not much, man. Not much.
Seems like a long time for some reason.
Yeah, it's a week longer than usual, mate. So your simple brain probably is.
Oof. Well, my simple brain, I don't know about that. Your microphone's horrible. What's going on? It was all clear a minute ago. Now you sound a little bit better. It was sounding a bit low and a bit covered. It's like you've got something in front of it all. I don't know. I don't know what's going on, mate, but you're coming through a bit blocked.
Maybe I need to... Is that better?
That's a lot better.
Right.
So, first round out of the way. For yourself, how was it? You went to Newcastle?
Yeah, it was good. 6-hour bus trip. That was interesting on the way up. A lot better on the way home after a win. So, yeah, happy, mate. Happy with both grades. Still a lot of improvement. We were, we were good for probably 55, 60 minutes in New South Wales Cup. We had a few little periods there where we weren't quite where we want to be, but that's probably to be expected with, you know, the young kids we've got. So, round two this week. It was good to win up there. It's not an easy place to go. And considering that, the bus trip and, just it's probably the longest bus trip in New South Wales Cup. So it's good to get that one knocked on the head and out of the way early in the year, that's for sure. So,
honestly, yeah. I think it might be worse doing those bus trips sometimes than flying.
Oh, no, like that bus trip, yeah, is worse than flying.
I just think some general...
I'd much rather fly to New Zealand than bus to Newcastle.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I can remember some of the bus trips and thinking, compared to the airport, at least the airport, you can have a coffee and walk around.
Yeah, in saying that, it wasn't too bad. We trained Wednesday morning and then bussed up at midday. We were there by sort of 6. And then, stayed there that night. And then game day... Yeah, played and then pretty much pack up and...
Yeah, hit the road.
You're on the bus, yeah. So I didn't get to stay for NRL, which was, unfortunate. But I think it's important. Like, my primary job is New South Wales Cup coach, so it's important for me to, be on the bus with them and be present with them if they're expected to travel back. So,
yeah.
And NRL, NRL did a great job. Like, they were clinical. Like, to complete at 90%, was just a really tough and gritty performance, which is what we based our preseason around.
Was absolutely outstanding. And on that note, let's jump in. Let's review the games from the completed round one in the NRL. Brought to you by Penrith Solar Centre. Jake and the team there, tackle your rising power bills head on this season with the help of solar energy. The team at PSC can help you do that. Contact them today. 1800 20 29 30 or www.penrithsolar.com.au. Get on to the Elon of Penrith. And you speak about it. The Raiders, great first up performance, 28-12 over the Knights. Tough start. I know Thursday night is tough for any crowd to come in, but Newcastle still turn up in numbers, close to a sellout. And I think tough and resilient probably sum everything up, completing at 90%. Under duress in yardage, Newcastle really tried to ramp up and tee off in yardage, but, mate, Raiders were rock solid, just absorbed. Fogarty kicked very, very well. I thought the kick chase on the flip of that and the play 1-2s was good. Kick contests from back rowers and kind of dropping it at that 3-4 man spot on the edges, what they were doing just out of yardage, like Rapper just burned himself to a standstill, Tomoko every time. 3 or 4 blokes off him. And I tell you what, I really do like Joe Tarpany, but again, I thought he had a really good game. And even the bench boys, like, spoke about it when we did the preview And I sort of gave you my opinion in particular about the forward pack and the fact there's probably three or four guys playing cut who could play in other teams, whether it be off the bench or starting. But I thought Gula and Arto, when they come in as well, made a real good impact. And I know for Hudson, the bin in that period was tough and it conceded a try, but he certainly made up for it when he got back on the field as well.
Yeah, I mean, we lost earlier, late in the week, so, but that was seamless. Like,
Hosking did a great job too in slot straight away.
exactly.
And that
So,
flexibility, speaking about that again, like you talk about people want to configure their benches differently. Some go big, some go for that hooker lock half sort of alternative. But to have that guy that's probably that perfect tweener between center, back row, and a middle is a very, very handy player to have. And I think probably highlighted that when I did the Brisbane review with Whitty, sort of talking about how last year they had a Piakura or someone else they could roll in there. But when he went off and they put Carrigan out there, not only did they lose an extra middle and the man that's their indicator and their link, but having him out on that edge there, it wasn't as effective. It took away from the edge and it took away from the middle. To have that guy there to slot straight in or off your bench is super handy.
exactly. Yeah, and he's a true pro. Like he's all effort, but he's also very classy. Like he's got a lot of skill about him, and yeah, he's fitted in really, really well.
I thought probably the other thing, I have no doubt defense would have been a massive point of off seasons. Like I know everyone says, oh, it was fitness and defense and this, that, and the other. But when you're in a transitioning position with your spine and there's a lot of pressure on your seven in particular, I thought the edge defense was another real highlight. Obviously, Newcastle like to get the early shift, like to try and get to the centers, get Ponga out in that sweep to try and create overlaps or play short or run the ball. I honestly thought, again, that was another real strength and a big tick in the box for 8-1.
Yeah, it was interesting because their last game last year, like before obviously I arrived, was against Newcastle in the semi. And then you're going straight back up there, same venue, same team for your first game of the year. So that was, yeah, I think it was ideal because you're sort of jumping into the same opposition. Not that there was any motivation out of the semi-final loss. That certainly wasn't the case. It was just more, yeah, you've just played him, then you're going into him as well. So it was almost like an extended preparation for, a rematch almost. So, yeah, it's like when you talk about defense, yeah, it was certainly, yeah, the boys were well prepared in regards to their tackling and, defensive structures. So, and it's just good to see that reflected in the performance.
Yeah, I think between that and obviously, like I said, the kicking of Fogarty, it showed in the end. I think Canberra had an extra 400 kick meters. They made them make an extra 60 tackles, and I think they frustrated Newcastle in a lot of errors because, things weren't exactly happening or they were getting shut down on the edges. So they ended up completing it 68%. Probably the other thing for them, I really like Dylan Lucas. He's had some injury dramas. I thought he'd started that game strong, but he went off the field as well as Tuala. So Pierce Paul. Oh, Paul Pierce, it's going to be like a Harris Nevita one that I get backwards every single time. He got introduced in. I didn't think he actually looked too bad for his first action. But
Yeah, I thought he carried the ball strong and had an impact, definitely, yeah.
that's one, I think, for them, concern early on. Talk about injuries when you're trying to settle. He's obviously a good depth option there, but I'm sure they would have rather introduce him over a couple of weeks or over a period there before they made that sort of decision. And another one for them, I guess, is the half situation. A lot of people, when they bought Cogger, thought he might be a walk up. The other side of it is they obviously went on that run with these couple of halves. I'd be interested to see, depending on form, what happens there and when Brayley's healthy to go again. How do they fit all these guys in? Because it doesn't work having two hookers, a utility, a couple of halves. So I think that there's a bit of a jigsaw to be worked out pending results and health in the next few weeks for Newcastle.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
But moving on from that one, great first win, road trip. Like I said, goal line saves, great from the backfield, edge defense, a lot of boxes ticked there. And I think.
I've got a lot of nice messages from like listeners and people who listen to the podcast and or even a couple of emails actually. So yeah, thanks to everyone who sent. There were people who sent through, sort of well wishes heading into the game, and then a few people who sent notes through after the game. So yeah, it's appreciated. You couldn't really access the game, you couldn't watch the game, or it wasn't streamed or televised. So I guess people would have been following the scores and yeah, appreciate the kind notes, but yeah, the players are really good, and yeah, we move on to round two.
100%. And I've got a new thing I'm going to do this year. Instead of just doing the power rankings all the time, sometimes I'm going to have the Penrith solo powerful moment of the week. And mine was the Forbes try to finish this game. There's nothing better than big boys working together. But in particular, a play five, old Gula. I'm calling him the Turkish Vorney. He looks a bit like a different version of Vorney in some form. Nice offload, links up Hudson, goes back to Hosking and back to Hudson again. There's nothing better than seeing a bunch of forwards combine to score a ripper try. So
Yeah,
that's my PSC powerful moment of the week.
they sort of pinballed it back and forth to each other.
Oh, mate, Gula did the old tennis ball grip and just got in there and gave someone a big don't argue, get out the club before he started rolling through the line. But
Yeah.
some good skill from those forwards and great performance overall as they roll into the Tigers this week. And Fogarty, like I said, I give a massive rap to him and the kicking game, what he did there. But Warriors, Sharks, I don't know if you caught much of the footy over the weekend.
Yeah, I saw, yeah, the two Friday games. We sort of did our review at lunchtime, so I was home, and yeah, we had pizza and the little fella on the lounge watching the two games. He's obviously a mad Penrith fan. We're trying to convert him a little bit over to at least half support the Raiders. So he wanted to start and watch the Penrith game. But yeah, we had the Warrior Sharks game. I really enjoyed that game. I really enjoyed both the Friday games. I think they were probably traditionalist games. They were dour and gritty, and I really like what I saw from the Sharks, because the Warriors just kept coming and coming and coming, and they just withstood, similar to what Melbourne did against the Panthers, and yeah, come away with a really big victory. Like, to travel over there in round one, not an easy place to go, particularly on the back of, you know, the hype train of the Warriors last year, and then rolling into the start of this year with big expectations. It was a really gritty Cronulla win.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's their best win in 4 years.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I haven't.
I think it's year
Not that
three.
far.
I think it's year three of Fitzgibbon, maybe. But in terms of that, and then the year prior when Morris had, like a bit of the cap stuff where he was playing under strength or not with a full book, they haven't beaten a top four side. They've barely beaten a top eight side. They've been rolled out of the finals twice to roll in, get absolutely pummeled through the middle when they copped the two early tries. And we're down 12 zip, and it was just looking like they were going to get absolutely blown off the park. To just lock things down, the way they defended on goal line, all the free stuff, like I think inside scramble, hit coverage, knocking balls dead, grounding balls, like all the sort of stuff that you could have just easily folded up shop and copped a 40 or 50 burger with the amount of possession. Not to mention they were rolling to like Adam Fanua Blake, my God, they got a preview as to what they're buying. He was absolutely outstanding. Tohu Harris went 200 plus as well. Barney, the psycho, I love that bloke. Like those three were just ramming their middle. They went 600 plus between the three of them. But once Egan went out, that made a huge difference to the way things work around the ruck, freed things up a little bit, less accountability around the play of the ball. Things got a little bit tight inside 20. I thought Sean Johnson literally had the ball on a string. He forced five dropouts. His short kicking game was just exceptional, but the Sharks just would not wilt. They gave nothing away. Like there was so many occasions there where you'd look, whether, like I said, grounding, ball knock dead, scramble effort, tackle effort. They were just absolutely juiced until the final minute, but they just refused to budge. And with limited opportunities inside 20, they found points every time they went there, which I think for Webster would probably be more, like it's only round one, but I think that would have bothered me
Yeah.
more from his perspective for all the
Well, I think
possession.
what would have bothered him is the lack of points with the possession that they had. That would probably bother him more. Yeah, but again, like you said, it's round one. But it would be disappointing, like, to lose at home when you had so many good attacking opportunities, and you know, had a team down 12 zip. There was a moment in this game where the Warriors made a pretty simple error, and I saw Sean Johnson be quite vocal with, I can't remember who made the error, at 12-0, and they were sort of looking like it could have quickly gone to 16-18-0, and it just stuck in my mind for whatever reason. And then later in the game, I was thinking, you know, like, those little mo the moments that seem really little are actually can be amplified later in the game if you don't take advantage of those gluts of possession that you have. So yeah.
Well, I
It
was
just
similar to you.
probably, and that's something that they're being, I guess, criticized for probably the duration of their existence, the Warriors just been really a little bit more clinical, a little bit more not gritty, because I think they're, if Webster's brought to them an attacking mindset and brilliance, no doubt. But I thought last year they were really gritty as well. Like they defended really, really well. But yeah, they would have been disappointed not to put this one away.
Yeah, and that's probably the part I'm getting at. Like the first try is Ramien just splitting two markers on goal line when they've had all the possession, and straight after half time, error, first play, bit of a shift, goes to the hands. Like they did have a 4-on-3, that one there. You can justify they summed it up well, the Sharks. That was good footy. But the other one that come from, again, I think it was a repeat that was failed, a seven tackle set. They flipped the field, they rolled down the right, and they've literally shifted sideline to sideline. Like watching that one, and they almost sold it twice. But Talakai Mulitalo did very well in contact to find offloads. Just small things like that off the back of them having possession and having had control of the game. It's not like the Sharks got to build persistent pressure on them, which is what happened the other way. So, thought from that perspective, you probably would have been disappointed. But I think the other one that's really understated, Egan only plays 34 minutes, but I think Chance's development last year with the ball playing compared to Tuipeke, I really like Tuipeke's speed, but the build of Chance and the power of Chance coming around that edge and straightening things up. I just think, yeah, take him out and take Egan out for a little bit there. And that less accountability on the ruck. I thought Cronulla weren't as phased probably when he wasn't on the field, and about Tuipeke in terms of really hunting from the inside. They weren't fearing as much about that body holding the football or straightening things up. So I think that problem's going to be solved. But I think Egan, if he's out long term, I think that would hurt. That would hurt a fair bit.
Well, yeah, it will hurt because he didn't he develop into such an impactful player last year. To lose him in a key position early and for a long period of time would definitely have an impact, that's for sure, because he's a focal point of your attack.
Just the subtlety that, like watching him, the confidence that must have come from last year and the last few years playing with those forwards, but just his own ability. How square he plays, like his eyes a couple of times there just were on defenders, not even on who he's passing to. So to have that much accountability around the ruck as compared to, I really like Lusick or your Jazz Tabungas, guys that are just hard workers, but in terms of the craft and creating a balance, accountability around the markers and the AB defender to sort of work with you or get a Finola Blake right into the line to the point where when your eyes turn out, you've already got a big body pressed up on you. I think it makes a huge, huge impact on it. Like Chance is going to be there. We know they've got Roger, they've got pretty good depth throughout, but I think the Egan one is really understated with that forward pack. So, interesting to see what comes of it. But yeah, I know that's going out on a limb from my perspective, but I thought off the back of what was really physically dominant, they banked every opportunity, they scrambled, they probably did all the things I didn't expect the Sharks to do or haven't seen out of the Sharks the last few years. People wanted to see a top four win, a top eight win. I know it's round one, but that's a quality outfit.
We're quieting that noise straight away, so.
And that's it. Take that narrative away instantly after that's all you've been hearing since day dot when this new regime came in. So let's see where they build from here. But yeah, I thought, Sifar and the outside backs, Mully, all those boys in particular, their back five were really, really tough in a game where they're under duress. Was interested with the forward minutes. Like Darryl Finucane only played 20. I don't know if he's had a bit of a hindered off season or what's going on there, and Hunt didn't play big minutes, but I thought Rudolph and Hazelton in particular did a really good job when they came out of the field. So good win. And yeah, moving on from that one, Storm Panthers, you talked about. I think I was more frustrated with this one with the referee. That's probably what frustrated me more than anything. I thought the whistle came out a bit too much, but this was just an absolute.
I'm watching the game. I didn't even like pick up on that.
Well, there was 20 penalties, six against, whatnot. As a Storm fan and someone who was just trying to enjoy it, I was swearing at TV a fair bit. I thought he got on the whistle way too much.
Who
But
was
it's one of the Suttons.
it? Oh, okay. It was Jared Sutton.
Yeah, I wasn't happy. Things like
Yeah.
even Warbrick.
I didn't really notice it, mate.
It's more
But
the reactive penalties in games like that. Like, Warbrick comes up, you look at the replay, he barely gets him around the neck. There was a few from Penrith similar. I'm just like, they're not penalties, just let it go. And this is, I think, off the back of Vegas or Origins, where things like this, where everything gets let go, and then I get angry when something so subtle gets blown up, and you just want to let two good teams just go at each other's throats. But how cooked they were at the end of both halves, in particular the back end of the second half. This was incredible. Melbourne's like last 15 minutes basically just camped on their goal line. Like, I felt physically ill watching them, and I wasn't even running. I was sweating on the couch.
Yeah, it was just a really cool game to watch because it was like round one, dour. Two good teams just throwing punches at each other. It was cool to watch. Really cool. Penrith, you can see that, you get punished for success because you don't have, I guess the length of off season. They've just come back from, to and from England and then have to go down to Melbourne. Like it's not an ideal start to the year, but yeah, look, they were riding that game up until their, probably the last 5 minutes where Melbourne sort of shut it down. But yeah, it was really, really cool game to watch. I really enjoyed it. Little fella did, Henley didn't enjoy it, but it's good for him to be humbled a little bit and learn how to lose. So, yeah, Penrith fans, I'd be, I think, they lost a not a similar game last year in round one, but they lost World Club Challenge in, wet and difficult conditions. They played in sort of a slippery conditions over there this year, World Club Challenge, and then come out against the, what ended up being a grand final opposition in round one and get beat. And yeah, they get beat in what was a, really dour, gritty game here. So I think, yeah, it sets Penrith up well to just roll on and improve, and a good lesson for their young players that they're rolling in about, what NRL footy is all about. Go down to Melbourne and face, a real tough and gritty team. Yeah, I think it sets them up well as much as it sucks to lose round one. Yeah, some good lessons, quality opposition to come up against.
I had some good takeaways for them. Again, similar to Melbourne, they were missing Kenny and Sorensen. I know Sorensen means that they can roll Garner or someone else back to the bench, which probably allows them to push an Eisenhuth or someone out at the moment they're carrying. Kenny obviously brings really good defense. His service got better. He's still not the craftiest man in the world, but they certainly tightened things up. For Melbourne, though, I was blown away. I was worried about the physical side of things. I was worried about missing Nelson in particular, and if they could match up with their two front rows. And Munster, speaks for himself. But to be missing those two, I thought Pezzett, after a couple of iffy moments early on, really turned things around the last 60. Did a really good job defensively, good kicking game, steered things. And it's not very often I probably rap wingers in terms of critical decisions, but I thought the edge defense from Meaney and then like Coates, Warbrick, like Coates in particular, had a few massive moments there where he's on the end of the line and he has to pick the pass and land on the man and he come up with three or four that forced errors.
Yeah.
So in that sense, when they were just under duress and the gun, Penrith 23 offloads compared to nine, they just, chaos, pulling Melbourne apart, second effort, scrambles, resetting your lineup. There's multiple times I thought they were shot ducks, but they just kept turning up. And even like, Remus, I know he's had a couple of years of injury and maybe questioning things a little bit at the back end of last year, in and out of the team. I thought between him and Meaney, similar deal. Both sides of the field was asked plenty of questions and I think they answered them. And he gets down to try. I know a lot of people weren't happy about that other decision, but I think that's like the Frizzell one the other night. There's a couple of rule tweaks this year they're just going to have to get used to, about, being in front of the ball or the kick chase one, all those little tweaks. Like, I don't have a big problem with any of them. Like the Frizzell one, if a guy's trying to get across, whether you think he's going to stop him or not, you can't be there. If you're downfield, get out of the way. For that one the other night, they're saying it was Hughes' decision. It wasn't so much the decision. He's still caught on the inside and then he ran behind him. So you can look at that two ways. But, a lot of people weren't happy about that, saying at that moment, then flipped around, was the penalty that they scored off. On the flip of that, Tui bombs a certain try not long after that, which would have really put the game to bed, I think. But instead of looking at those sort of negatives, I'm just looking at two really gritty performances.
Yeah, I don't want to read too much into that other stuff. Like, yeah, the referees made those rules and interpretations quite clear in the off season. So, yeah, I
I
guess
think.
where the adaptation that's happening at the moment is the fans getting used to it because the clubs know and the players know. It's just the fans getting used to the new interpretation. So, yeah.
Yeah, I just think Penrith is like last year. A lot of people freaked out after the World Club in round one. It's just that. It's round one. Lost some quality players again, missing a couple of guys that are going to be available. Probably the one thing I really take away, and I harped on this last year, and I know sort of why he wasn't there, but I think Sonny Luke has to have some time on the field. Like the missed tackles or the little bit of stuff you worry about for the 20 or so minutes he's on, his impact at the back end of that game against Melbourne, like he's the one who started the play for the try. He brings ruck accountability. He forced a drop out. He jumped out a few times. He's the one who got the offloads going. He got four himself in like that 20 or so minute period. I just think with Kenny there, obviously you get that line speed, you get a big body, they defend well, but I just honestly think to open up their attack at periods there, rather than carrying Eisenhuth or a third forward that you might only give limited minutes to, when you have that sort of Garner type that goes back and covers that middle edge centre sort of role, I just think if I'm Penrith, I have to carry Sony. I need a point of difference. And
Yeah,
again,
for sure. We'll see how that plays out.
like with a Crichton going out and over the years, you're losing more and more quality. It's just something else to add a string to your bow or bring a point of difference. And that's, what you start reaching for when you have lost so many quality players. But I'm not worried at all. I thought it was a quieter night for their two props. But like we said, long season last year,
One of the
international.
interesting is this weekend's game. What they didn't beat Parramatta last year. They haven't beaten Parramatta since the grand final.
Yeah, and they had a big off-season, the longest off-season they've had. They were very physical on the weekend too.
If Parramatta get off to 2-0 and Penrith 0-2, then there'll be some chatter. Well,
I was impressed with
I'm
May.
not too,
Mate,
mate. I wouldn't be panicking about it.
unless Penrith are somehow going an absolute downtrodden run on a like 3-7 heading in Origin, I wouldn't be worried. I don't see it happening. Even if they have a rough start and they're 2-2 or 1-4 or something like that. I think once the momentum comes and they navigate their way through it, there's too much quality there. But it's just the challenge of going back to back to back. They've played more footy than anyone over the last 4 years. It's four grand finals in a row, all the internationals plus the turnover. So I wouldn't be too worried. But I thought May looked particularly sharp for a guy who's come off major surgery and only played two games in 18 months.
Yeah, he firstly looks like he's put on some size. He looked,
Definitely.
fast as well. Yeah,
Power.
he was impressive.
Huge rap to Yo as well. I thought Yo just standard him. Got through a ton of work, lots of tackles. Their back five's always really, really good. And like I said, I thought for the most part, the props and Liam Martin, who I thought were going to be the real difference makers, were pretty well contained. But yeah, Sony at the end of there as well also really opened things up for him when I thought they needed points. And he very near got him a try and score one himself and forced a dropout. So for them, it's just a building block. And for Melbourne, I thought similar. I thought the biggest thing to take away here was they were a bit undermanned, and a couple of guys that I was worried about physically turned up. Welch looked decent off the bench. I think that's probably a better role for him after a couple of those injuries. Just burn yourself out for 30 or so minutes. Liero, much better in the middle than he is on the edge. Happy with that move. I know Bloor and a couple of guys like Sua, who they want to get involved, played cup on the weekend. So when they're ready to go in a few weeks, that brings some options. But yeah, the Meany move I thought looked good. The two wingers were outstanding. Like I was impressed with Warbrick last year transitioning, but I think he's going to be an even better player this year. And Pat, like we didn't see the flashy moments, but he certainly makes a difference in terms of covering up at the back, organising the defensive line. And yeah, real solid game for Pezzett. Real solid game.
Mate, very good game. Yeah, I think I sent that to you in a text. I was super impressed with just how he controlled and how he kicked.
But I probably think the big question mark for them at the moment is Munster osteopubis is an injury that doesn't go away. For a lot of people, it's something that needs to be needled or requires surgery. So I think they want to give it natural healing time. But I know two or three mates who have had it or had tried to carry it through and have needed needles, and others that have had the surgery and it's not a quick recovery. So
Yeah.
that's touch and go. Like for right now, for Pezzett might be required for a couple of months. So it's pretty big. Not something that was known throughout the off-season, obviously. But
No, sort of
they're
just.
saying it happened recently, but yeah, it's one of those things. It's not a quick fix. Very interested to see how long he's missing for. And we'll say one thing, Bellamy doesn't lie. He basically said there'll be no chance of him playing unless he's ready to go. We'll give it the time it requires to the point where he's 100%.
Yeah.
So I heard that. I thought, well, maybe that gives Pezzett that little bit of confidence or that point the other night to take ownership and know that he might be there for, a good stint there, and he's going to be required to help out Hughes, not just be a passenger. But big step forward by him. Eels, we spoke about, and they're going to play Penrith this week. I was really impressed. I give the Dogs a rap. I thought, considering the amount of ball Parramatta had, how physical they were, and I thought they just bashed them and strangled them for the most part for long periods of this game. But the physicality of Parramatta, like more of that side, got me. In the past, it's been the attacking flash and the offloads and everything sort of on that side of the ball. But I was more impressed with how ruthless they were physically.
Yeah, it was a physical game, that's for sure.
Mm.
And they had piles more possession. And so I'm not really too sure what to make of that game. I want to see both those teams play this weekend. Whether it was just that Parramatta had a huge amount of possession or, yeah, it's just, it was so lopsided, like you just almost.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Expected the game to go that way based on possession.
I think they
The
forced
Bulldogs, yeah, like you said, the Bulldogs were extremely gritty, and Parramatta were, yeah, they were clinical. But how much of that was to do with the weighting of possession? I'm not too sure.
I thought part of that was forced, though. Like they forced some errors. They bashed him. They were
No,
good at
I understand that. Yeah.
yeah. I just saw like they really imposed themselves, in particular. Some of the hit, like Carter, I don't know what's got into Carter. He said it in the preseason review, like thought he had one of his best years, and he's maybe finally maturing into what you'd expect. But if he's going to bring that physical side on that side of the ball as well as what he offers with the ball,
Well, I thought he had a good year last year.
I thought he had a great year. But the defense on the weekend just blew my mind. Like he cracked that O'Carr earlier. He's the one who started the issue with the AC joint. He absolutely dusted Crichton after they had a bit of a verbal. He teed off on a few blokes, and I thought, well, if you're going to add that into the package as well as the hard running, the offload, and the size, he popped six offloads on the weekend. There was two or three times there. They weren't speculators, but they're absolute bloody Magic Johnson, Showtime Laker style offloads. They had another try similar to the Canberra one between him, Maddo, and Paulo, some of the interchange for that try. Very impressive
Yeah,
figure.
I think he's just found a balance with his offload, Cartwright. Like initially, early in his career, that was his thing, that was his weapon, and sometimes he overdid it. Now it complements all those little gritty, dirty professional things that he does. Like he's matured into such a professional who has all those little freakish skills to complement his game, not to be the core of his game. I think that's been the big change.
I think I also didn't read too much in their attack because Moses hurt his groin that early that he basically was just out there filling a slot. A lot of times it felt like it was a bit clunky, but it was pretty much Brown and Gutherson trying to push his way in. I thought that made it probably a little bit predictable. But yeah, that's why I was probably more impressed with the flip side of it. What they dished up defensively, forcing their way out of yardage. I thought Pennicini on that right side with Cartwright looked really strong. Harps did a good job on the other side of the field as well. In his introduction there, that was probably a question mark for me, is some of their outside back depth. But yeah, that middle rotation. I like the Offahengawi start and the way he rolled in. Paulo and Maddo, I thought they had a huge impact when they came on as well. And just maintain the rage and pop good. Another year for him, another off-season playing that sort of link role and tough as teeth. Yeah, their forward pack's going to take them a long way, I think.
Yeah, agree. Yeah.
Yeah, I think for the Bulldogs, a lot of people frustrated. I've read a bunch of different things today, yesterday. The Dogs of last year, and I know it's only round one.
Frustrated about what?
Oh, they're just frustrated. I know it's been a long period of time and it's been over multiple coaches and regimes, but just I guess that they lost and they didn't see a lot of hope. I probably didn't see a lot in attack, but I certainly thought they were a hell of a lot more gritty defensively than what they've been the past few years.
Yeah, as I said, I want to see him play. See him play this week. Who do they play this week? The Bulldogs.
Bulldogs got the Sharks. So talk about gritty performances.
Yeah.
They've come off the back of, one of their real staple performances. But yeah, I thought they held up
It's
under duress.
going to be interesting to see how, like, the Sharks had a similar game, right? Like they probably lost possession. They found a way to win, but they weren't too dissimilar in regards to the, I guess, the type of game that they were faced with against the Warriors, as opposed to what the Bulldogs were against Parramatta. Oh, Parramatta scored more points and were probably a little bit more clinical than what the Warriors were. But as we said earlier, like if the Warriors were a little bit clinical, or more clinical early in initially in that game where they had that huge weight of possession, who knows what the score could have been. So and that's yeah, two teams who are yeah, one who found a way to grit out a win, and Canterbury who just yeah, just seemed to mount up against them both with injuries and possession and yeah, some yeah, just circumstances beyond their control in some elements.
Yeah, if they can maintain that for the year, good on them, because I thought they had every right to probably fold up at a few points there. At the first set was, I think, four in a row they copped off the back of errors and repeats from the Taff era, and there was multiple other periods like that where they were just rolled up on, but they didn't help themselves. They gave a lot of penalties away, like first three tackles coming out of yardage, marched Parramatta upfield. But attack is probably the big thing for me. It worried me in the preview, and I've probably got the same opinion now. I just think in my head there's going to be lots of changes to the spine throughout the year, and I don't know how they're going to get that continuity. But watching Hutchison play with Burton generally was just lobbing up kicks again. There wasn't a whole lot doing considering that stack left-hand side. Hutchison tries to engage or dig in, but he's really not probably the greatest running threat. I think Sexton still probably is a more naturally creative guy and probably a better run threat. Like Taff. I like Taff as a ball player, but they don't have the middles, I think, to sort of suit what you want from him from fullback. So if you want someone who can ball play and probably a little bit more physical, I'd be leaning towards Tracy. But I still get the feeling that they're going to look, sort of roll through a couple of those spots, and there'll definitely be a force change next week. The Fox, the AC joint, they're saying maybe 2 to 4 weeks. So I'm thinking that it's more than likely Carrouse will go straight back on the wing and Sherry will come in and get a crack in the centres. But yeah, I think the middle is the big one for me. They tried hard. They rotated seven out at one point, rolled Kickow off and got man onto the field. I found that sort of interesting, but I just don't think that's going to be a battle they're going to win many times this year with the troops they've got. And if you're not winning the middle, for the most part, you're going to be playing from your own end. You're going to be defending your goal line, and your outside backs, who for them had plenty of carries, are going to be the ones trying to carry the burden. And in this game, I thought that was the case. And not trying to, like I said, I thought they were gritty as hell, but if that's the majority of your year playing from the back half of the field and not being able to win that middle battle, I think it might wear on them. Moses would be an interesting watch. Like a groin is something you can play through, but when you explode and want to run and you're a goal kicker and a great general play kicker, yeah, that, like if he might need some time out, I don't know. So I guess that'll be the interesting watch for them.
Interesting if he's named, yeah.
But if not, they've obviously moved on from Jacob. I got the whole circumstance around that, but I didn't agree with it, but I understood why. But yeah, for them, I guess your only real option there is Arcee, unless they really like Blaze Talangi. They've just upgraded him to top squad. He's come through playing centre six fullback. They obviously threw him in as a one, but I don't know if they'd go there that quickly, but he certainly impressed in the preseason games he played.
I would think it'd be Arcee.
Yeah, that's what I'd think to start with.
Just because, yeah, Talangi's been put there at fullback, so I doubt they want to put him into first grade at six when he's done the whole season at fullback. But
Well, there's the flip. Would you push Gutherson into the halves and just throw the one at Talangi and say,
you
"Well,
could
mate,
do that. Yeah, you could do that.
if you're not happy with the Arcee thing, like Gutherson, a lot of the times basically comes in and plays as an extra half anyway. But if they've got the confidence in their kid, and that's the way they're looking long term, I don't know if they'd bite the bullet this week against Penrith, but maybe if it's a multiple week injury, then maybe they look at it. But overall, yeah, like I said, particularly their middles, I was really impressed. And yeah, 90% completion, 16 offloads, 1,800 metres to 1,100. Dogs, the penalties and 13 errors didn't help. But yeah, that rotation I thought was brilliant. Paulo particularly looked pretty lean and ready to go. And him and Madison come on, made a real dent in Cartwright. That's one of the best games he's had in his career, let alone Just yeah, seeing that whole complete package was pretty impressive. But moving on, talk about impressive. Dragons Titans 28-4. First half, they score that early try. No surprise with four and out late. Weaver, they're always going to target that edge for more. Back off an ACL, you know, two guys there, a kid, and then a bloke who's, you know, finding his confidence. It's going to take probably 8 to 10 weeks off a major injury like that, and you're working your way back into first grade with an ACL. But early love, just targeting that space around Weaver, Sloan, straight in, and then the rest of the half, they were their own worst enemy. I thought physically they were good, but they made nine errors. And the Titans, we generally associate with them attack, but couldn't find any points. The defense for the Dragons was pretty good and resilient. They saved three or four. But on the flip, you know, I didn't think the Titans threw a hell of a lot at them. And I understand that there's no Fifita, no Campbell, and Foran, and that probably helps out a lot in those sort of key positions or a bit of impact. But yeah, you got to bank when you've got that many opportunities. And coming out second half, it didn't get any better, and pretty much the same thing happened on the flip side. The errors tidied up for the Dragons. They took control, they had possession. I think at one point there, they were 16 from 18 and had 23 sets to 13, and they really just turned the screws on the Titans. And we unfortunately saw a bit of what we've seen in the past, that defensive resilience wasn't there. There was five or six set restarts in their own half, and the Dragons just turned it on.
Yeah, they did. I just felt like they dominated the physical battle. It's
Yeah.
what I felt. Yeah, watching
I
it. I
loved
turned it off when it got like when it blew out. I turned it off.
it. It was very simple, but it was exactly that. Physical, fit, and fast. Like their back five was carrying hard. Like Jack Bird hasn't looked that good in 3 or 4 years. Sully looks like a completely different person. Like we already knew Ravalawa had a good carry. And then Lomax, like they're saying he's pissed off and he wants a different wants out and he wants to play centre, he wants this and that. Well, maybe he should take Flanagan's advice. That's the best game he's played in first grade. They were just absolutely ruthless from the backfield and just real good, simple footy. They played some nice long passing from dummy half, getting early width. They had Hunt pretty much free to not think, which I think is when Ben Hunt plays his best. I think other coaches in the past have burdened him to try and be this controlling number seven when the best part of his game is when he just runs. He was popping up both sides of the field. Jaden Sewer was dangerous. Fatala Mariner was good. Got an offload for one of the tries, popped three or four others. And then their middles just toiled. Like your DeBellins would thrive under this. And even Eisner surprised me, like the minutes he played, the job he did. He got some impact out of his bench and he wasn't lying when he said he was going to work Sloane hard, the defensive stakes. He knows what he's got in attack, but he came up with a couple of nice plays defensively as well as the brilliance in attack.
Yeah, well, he's maturing as a first grader, so
But some
big year from him.
potentially handy recruits, like, you know, Faitala's unwarranted, but you got the potential of someone who's an ex Kiwi international who's had a bad injury run. You know, the few other little small moves there, like even his own young bloke. I know, again, a bit like the Arthur thing, cop a lot of flack, but if you watch the bloke play, he's not a bad half. He's really good at steering a team. He's got a good kicking game. He defends and does his job, and he's probably the perfect partner for Ben Hunt, in all honesty.
Yeah, like he's a first grade half, mate. Yeah, definitely.
100%.
Like we spoke about on our last show, the preview when we were talking about the Dragons. Just yeah, he's a very, very competent NRL level half.
And for the differences in, like I said, personality and play style, I think it suits perfectly. He can do all the thinking for Ben and just get him to where they need to be. And Hunt's second half in particular really come to life. I think he realised a little bit like he would have in a couple of the trials, just the freedom he had. And he was digging in. He popped a few nice short grubbers through. He was playing with the back rowers. He was just a real genuine threat. So some real positive signs for them. I know depth is probably the one thing you look at in a transition year, but you want to talk about the free things, the effort, the aggressiveness. And I heard him on the radio today, actually, while I was driving. He pr was pretty blunt in assessment that when I got there, he goes, "We were fat." And I was just like, "Wow, he's let that out."
Who said that?
Flanagan said they were fat.
Oh, okay.
And I said, "Okay, that's pretty blunt." He goes, "Well, plain and simple, you got to be fit, fast, agile, like be able to move, be able to play big minutes." They lost, I think he said, across the squad, like 120 plus kilos. And with all the sports science, they're saying they're up about 43 kilos of muscle. People like Sully lost 9 kilos. Frank Molo lost 8 or 9 kilos. So you're talking about body composition or a complete change, like in that regime. That's a pretty serious transition on that side,
Yeah.
but it showed. So see how it goes moving forward. But yeah, if that's your building block before you actually really get to make some moves with your roster,
Yeah.
that sort of game style, that sort of attitude, that'll win you 10 or 12 games of football.
Yeah.
So impressive. Old Desi, he cracked out the stats book, that a long chat after the game. There was a few faces that I looked at that were probably a bit blown away by a post-game Des Hasler sort of chat, bit of information. But I guess for him, the biggest thing is probably that lapse in defense and not cashing in points. Obviously, those guys coming back will make a difference, but said it in the preview, and that's my biggest worry across the year. Like, foreign at his age and the injuries he's had. Brimson's obviously in the centres now. Do they move him? Campbell and Fifita missing for a month. I just don't trust the health around their spine. I still think, I know it's probably weird to a lot of people. I just always like Sexton more than I like Tanner Boyd. I wouldn't have let Sexton go. Like, I like little bits I see of Weaver, his kicking game, and some little moments there, but it's a real big ask for him at this point in time as a kid, 19-year-old kid. So I'm just not confident in their spine, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it was the same old, same old. Tino had a huge game. Semi had a big game, and probably the one unsung guy I sort of saw, Cleese Haas, when he picked him to start, I thought, okay, back row, that's a bit random, but he played the full 80, 44 tackles, zero misses. He got through a lot of work. But yeah, just between him and Tino's brother, like the two brothers of two quality players, I wasn't quite sure what type of player Haas is, but he certainly inherited that engine, that's for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, I just, if it's not their attack where they're usually scoring 30 something a week to go with the defense, they flopped on both sides. So it's only round one, but there's a lot to work on.
Big time,
And the last one, I don't know if I was surprised by this, but I think it honestly could have been uglier. The Cowboys 43 to 18 over the Dolphins. And I tell you what, I could certainly see a bit of the Jimmy Maloney influence in the way they attacked, that's for sure. There was some stuff that made me shake my head, like running it three times on play five after scoring
They
the first.
scored their first three tries on last tackle, didn't
I know, it was nuts, but they also made errors trying to run it. The next set, I'm jamming it down his short side on play five. I was like, dear Lord, there's certainly some be a goldfish, Jimmy Maloney style stuff going on.
Yeah.
But I thought they looked really good in attack. The Tommy Dearden certainly at the forefront of what they're doing. Their edge back rows were really, really good. And Laybutt had a standout day as well. Had some real quality moments.
Yeah, they were clinical, weren't they? Really, really good. They would have been disappointed with some of their early defense, I think.
Yeah, two crash overs.
Yeah, but other than that, I thought they were super impressive. Yeah, we got a pretty good look at them last trial game. So, yeah, they were fast, they were direct, and they're only going to build and be better for the run and into round one. So. Yeah, it's another one of those games where you sort of like, are the Cowboys that good, or were the Dolphins
Yeah.
slow to start? Like, yeah, it's hard with round one to get form lines. I think you need to see 3 or 4 weeks to, yeah, get a real gauge. But
If anything, it probably more confirmed for me. I was worried about them losing Gilbert and just they're just older in the middle. And I thought watching them, yeah, things were very one out. It was very slow. Whereas the Cowboys, it's pretty much the complete opposite. There's a lot of leg speed. There's a lot of power. They move the football around. Yeah, like Flegler's moments were good, but he can only play so many minutes. Herbie got through plenty of work, but they didn't really shift to him a whole lot. Hannah has these sort of moments, but I think it probably goes back to, again, the preview. I think this year in that transition of contracts, they've certainly got really good outside backs. Their spine is solid at the moment. They've probably got 9 and 1 sorted. Like long term, you're 6 and 7, maybe not, but that forward pack. Watching Nico run around at 34, I'm like, he's my age. And then Jesse and all those guys are even older. They read with Gilbert there, obviously, but they need a real influx of either their kids, like your own Keelys, your Teagues, and that playing more football this year to move into some of those spots, or they really have to nail the market this year, I reckon, forward-wise. Because they're about to have a big glut that's helped establish what they want to be, which is great as a club. But I think there's a real big hole there.
Yeah,
So
fair comment.
it's a tough ask. Like, they started like a house on fire last year, but the whole new club, no one believes in this whole ethos. That's sort of gone out the window. It's year two. All those guys are a year older. You lose the young firebrand early on, who would have been absolutely nuts to
wonder
watch.
whether that goes away. Like, I think that's still there to a degree, but yeah. They've certainly improved their roster.
Oh, I think, like I said, especially 1-7. I was surprised not to see Averillo.
I don't want to pile on them too much because it's the first game.
I just think, I like so many. It's not so much pile on. I just think, middle is certainly an area where I look at it and think there's a lot of guys there who are going to be asked to play a lot of footy. Maybe just a body or two short there. And Gilbert's injury was big. I thought that was really big, just to sort of take the burden off a few of those blokes that have played a lot of football in their careers, 300 plus, two of them. And guys like Nico only played 150 over that extended period, but 34, 35 years of age up against the pack like that Cowboys one. Big ask. It's a very big ask. I think for them probably sums things up. Tamalolo only played 20 minutes. I know a lot of people try to read into that with what's going on, but they didn't need to put him back on. So I think for Peyton, it was just put Kulakefu and a couple of the younger blokes on and give them the minutes. So good day at the office if you're the Cowboys. And Kyle Felt equaled Matty Bowen's record for a moment, and then they went back and told a lie. He bombed it. He dropped it. So for another week, Matty Bowen holds on to the all-time record for the Cowboys.
There you go.
But that pretty much sums it up, mate. That's the six games. We're back into a full round as of next week and reviewing the football. I got Timmy to do this last week because obviously we used to do it last year and I knew I wasn't going to have you all the time, but what's been happening TV, podcast or movie-wise? You got anything for the listeners?
Not really, no.
Timmy plugged The Boys on Amazon. He said pretty much X-Men and something else crossed over. I've watched it. It's a bit messed up, but I'm a fan.
The new Drive to Survive. I've been watching that.
That was my tip last week. If people weren't into it, I thought it was a good season.
The one from the makers of Band of Brothers and the Pacific.
The Apple one with the Elvis dude on it.
Rogue Heroes? Is it Rogue Heroes?
I don't know. I've seen something on Apple. Is that the one you're talking about with Austin Butler?
No, that's a different one. SAS Rogue Heroes. That's good as well for anyone. That's a BBC. That's quite good. Can't think of what it's called.
Well, I was
It's
saying,
called Masters of the Air.
that's the one, Austin Butler. That's Apple TV.
Don't know.
Seen the shorts, but I haven't
Movies,
watched it.
movies. No, haven't watched a movie. But I watched Ferrari, or I started to watch Ferrari and turned it off. It was rubbish.
Who's that? Was that old mate? Kylo Ren, actor? Adam
Can't think of his
Driver.
name. The other one is True Detective, the new series of True Detective. That was a bit weird. With what's the lady's name out of Silence of the Lambs? She's in it.
Yeah, Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster, yeah. So
That's all right.
if you're into True Detective, you'll enjoy it. But yeah, my wife and I were a bit miffed at the last this the it's particularly the last episode. I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
Well,
Anyway.
I must say, Drive to Survive the last season or two, I was sort of off it because it was just Max, Red Bull, and nothing doing. The new season just going, if you are into it, was good. There was a lot of team stuff and driver stuff. I was like, this is actually interesting.
I'm five episodes in, so I've got five to go.
Mate, it was good.
The Ringer Formula One podcast do like a breakdown of each episode as well, which is cool. So I sort of watch an episode and then I listen to that and then watch another one and then listen to that. So it's a good way to do it.
Well, the only movie I really want to see, and I still haven't, is Oppenheimer. And I'm pretty
Yeah,
sure
that's
the
cool. See, that's a
Oscars
good one.
were today, but everyone thought had him like, less than $1.10 for almost every award. I didn't actually see who won what in the end.
Yeah, okay, I didn't even know that wrong.
I just heard this morning they were saying that the movie was like $1.10. Cillian Murphy was like $1.10 to be best actor. They thought De Niro was going to win Best Supporting Actor, Robert Downey Jr. was also nominated for something like they just thought they were going to absolutely wipe the floor with everyone. So.
Yeah, you've got Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, Best Director, Best Original Score, Best Cinematography, Best Film Editing.
Oh, there you go. So I need to watch Oppenheimer.
One, two, three, four, five, six, got seven. Wasn't Emily Blunt was a nominee, didn't get Best Supporting Actress, Best Adapted Screenplay, they didn't get it. Costume design, no. Production design, no. Makeup and hairstyling, no. Sound, no.
I've got to watch it.
So they were nominated in 13 categories and took home seven.
That's huge. A lot of the time, they're lucky if they get two or three.
They got Best Picture, Director, Actor.
Yeah, I definitely need to watch it.
Sorry, Best Actor in Leading and Best Acting Actor in Supporting. So, yeah, you need to watch it, mate. It's a cracker.
You seen it, have you?
Yep. Went to the movie, saw it by myself. That's how I roll.
That's what killed me. I think I had a few weeks of OT and stuff there, and I just never got the chance.
Yeah, that was ages ago. That
Thought
was.
about a sneaky Monday RDO one, but I had no RDO, so go have a bit of a solo session. What's your week look like, friend? You're playing Saturday?
Saturday, yeah. So we train tomorrow. Wednesday off. Thursday, Friday, play Saturday.
And first game at home for you.
Yeah, it is, and it's a big occasion because it's our first home game as a club since the passing of TJ. So yeah, there's a few tributes and a minute silence, and yeah, a fair bit going on. So it's always a special. To play your first home game. It's my first game, I guess. First home game as a member of the club, and then to have it sort of coincide with Dargs's memorial and I guess pay respect to his family. It's going to be emotional and special. So, yeah, we're certainly going to be putting our best foot forward or putting ourselves in a position to be putting our best foot forward come Saturday. So, yeah, it'll be good to see him, pay tribute to and given the respect he's deserved. So it's been
All three grades as well for first home game, was it? You got
all
flipped.
three guys, yeah. So
There you go. If
Flag Cup
you're
and into NRL. So yeah, it's a date I've had circled on the calendar ever since I took the job. So we want to, yeah, we really want to honour him as a club and make it, yeah, a special day for his family. That's certainly our intentions.
If you're a Raiders fan, and I know we had a lot even prior to your time down there that listened to the podcast, Saturday might be a good day to get to the footy. All three grades, first home game. I know, especially when you have that sort of daylight transition into the football and things are still a bit warm, that the locals like to come out. And after a good round one, it's probably a really good time to get in and have a look at your team.
Yeah.
So get around it, people. Get the Viking clap. Get six great Northerns down your neck. Have a good time.
Tasty.
Friend, good to see you.
You too, buddy. I'm
Still
going
finding
back.
it very odd. Still struggling, actually. There's been a few times where I'm like, I'm going to go to this bloke's house. I'm like, oh, wait, he doesn't live here anymore.
Yep.
And then I've got a constant reminder every day because I've got your three dogs out the back.
Yeah.
So they come home and look at me like, I'm you, but I'm just an imposter until they realize
Oh,
that when I come out.
yeah.
Oh, it's not him.
That's okay. If they think that's good. Yeah,
They're good value. Especially, I've told you, your old farm girl, old Fluzza, I tell you what, she's a bit of a creep. I've come home after a few late night call outs or night shifts, and everyone else is asleep, and it's 3 a.m. You barely have half a light there, and there's just old Goldface staring at you at the back door, like, sup, bruh.
she's a special human, that one. Yeah.
She certainly is. Certainly is.
She's a lover, not a fighter.
Definitely. Every time I fill up the water, or do anything, or get my face within the region, she's straight in your face.
She's a good egg.
Yeah, they're all good eggs. But
Yeah,
mate,
so we're home here for 2 weeks and then we're up in Sydney for Easter, so that'll be good.
oh, there you go. I was about to say to you, I'll be coming. I think the weekend of the Eels, pencil me in.
Yeah, that's a week. I think that's a week after.
I've got
Week after Easter.
weekend work for a couple of weeks, which sort of ruins things. But yeah, if you're up here for Easter, then the week after I'll be down there.
Yeah, sounds good.
The old doubler.
Easy.
Good to see you, mate. Thanks for coming on and for everybody there. There you go. There's your dose of box head. It's been 2 weeks, but he's back. And we'll aim, as I said, during the year. We'll do our best, just all obviously depends around work and training and whatnot.
How's Timmy been going?
I think Timmy's been good.
I've had a lot of messages saying he's killing it.
he's been doubting himself a little bit every time we talk off air and telling me
They
that
might need to retire me. Timmy's
no.
in new blood.
Talking about binning it, if it doesn't go well, I'll just chuck it out and do it yourself. I'm like, that's fine, mate. It's all good.
No, I've only the only feedback I've had is positive. So,
So
and look out, mate, some of our fans, they're not backwards in coming forwards and telling us this stuff's no good. So,
which is what you want. Nothing, bit of feedback.
100%, yeah, that's good. Good to hear he's going good.
I do understand. I said the
He's
exact.
hung around me his whole life, so he can't be
Well, so that's why I
that
forget. Yeah.
uneducated. Like, he's hung around footy. We've known each other forever, but yeah, we sort of started knocking around start of high school, so 13, 14. So I've either been playing in an NRL system or coaching in an NRL system the whole time we've been mates. So he knows enough about footy.
Most definitely. And very handy for basically every part we've done so far. I think the only thing, like I said to him, I understand similar deal. He's work and a child and whatnot. So if there's some weeks that don't work, we'll make it work. And there'll be times where I'm on shift, which obviously don't work for you or him, or I'll record it in the morning or a stupid time of night on me Pat Malone. Whatever works.
Yeah.
Content's content. It'll come out every week. It'll just, again, have to just roll around what's going on. But there'll always be something posted.
There will
And that's the main thing. The commitment remains for the team.
be.
But mate, it's been nice seeing you. I'm going to finish with a bit of buzz because I've got a few messages and people are like, you haven't done buzz in a few weeks. So, I'll see you soon, mate. Enjoy the weekend. Hopefully, a good result. And for everybody out there, back Wednesday for the preview. But for now, enjoy your week and enjoy your rugby league.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.